Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Happy New Moon. Today is the new moon. And I have to say the energy over the past, not today. Today was a shift. And I don't know that I can ascribe it to the new moon as much as I can ascribe it to a really good night's sleep. Not a lot of hours, but really good sleep. So I know that's what I was missing over the past couple of days too. But, you know, right before a new moon, the energy just feels a little thick because it's dark. You know, it's dark. And, you know, whereas we're human, right? And I'm trying to explain, the planets are created things, and but what people believe about them is what hangs in the air. It's what we navigate through in this psychic sea. And I just think about our way like prehistoric ancestors who, you know, when the moon went dark, maybe thought it was never going to gain light again. I mean, that's fear. You know, that's heavy. That's really, really heavy. So, you know, all of that, every human being that's ever been on this planet has contributed to that psychic sea or thought atmosphere or universal consciousness, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to call it. Every person who's lived on this planet has contributed to that emotionally, from joy to its complete opposite. And if we're sensitive at all, we can be influenced by that. So it's not necessarily always what you believe, because I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, this is happening and I never would have believed that. Well, somehow, some way, you know, we can only live what we believe. So somehow, some way, there's a little something that got in there. Don't judge yourself for it. Just move on. But like I said, sometimes for me, and I definitely felt it in the past couple days, the energy was just a little thick. And that's the only word I have for it because it's difficult to describe. I actually got a lot done, but I had to work up the motivation to do it. And it was also just a little difficult to stay on track. So I really had to be mindful of being grounded, staying grounded. But I already feel clearer today, as I said. So, you know, light will do that for you. The minute the moon starts taking on light, it really is, it's a great metaphor for a new beginning. And I think any time we can grab on to a new beginning, we should, no matter how what method it comes through or what experience it comes through. It's a good thing, because when you look at a new beginning, it's like it's opportunity. So, and that opportunity is going to be what you make it, because life is what you make it. So anyway, the other thing that was really cool is it was 32 degrees this morning when we went for a walk in the dark. Oh, Grace and I early. It was so wonderful to put on my big heavy winter coat and go for a walk and just feel that cool, crisp air. There was a freeze warning on my phone. You know, weather on my phone is, let's just say, less than accurate a whole lot of the time, but it definitely was a freeze warning because it got to 32 degrees, but it didn't get any lower than that. So I don't think all the leaves are going to fall off in one fell swoop. They did that about a year ago. We had a freeze. I had these gorgeous zinnias in my back garden, and my Virginia creeper that covers a whole fence line in my backyard that was so thick and beautiful and colorful, had a freeze, everything fell off. Just everything. It went from beautiful, thick color to branches. So I know it wasn't that cold last night. So hopefully, my fingers are crossed, it still looks okay today. But anyway, you are listening to Empowerment. The show is live today on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. So if you'd like to join the chat, go to 12radio.com and click chat, and then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner, or you can subscribe to my channel and just go directly to YouTube. I don't do readings on the show. This is a teaching platform. But if you would like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 1-2-listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If I happen to be busy or you don't see me, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and I will get back to you as soon as I can, and I will always do my best to meet your schedule. So I also have my Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session available on 1-2-listen.com on my bio page. Autumn, this is the most fantastic time of the year to me. It is a time of harvest. So, you know, it's time to bring things in. And in order to bring things in, you have to be able to receive. And really the purpose of this 15-minute time-based session is to remove and release the blocks to receiving. We have a history, you know, we have those influences and filters that we've lived with all our lives. We have egos that tell us who and what we are. You know, they're just our person. We constructed them, but at the same time, you know, we believe them. We have self-concepts that are influenced, again, by our filters and our early childhood and education and our experience. So beliefs are not truth. Limiting beliefs are not truth. Any belief really is not truth. But it is true for us if we believe it. So, you know, by moving those out of the way, it just allows us to expand and be open and available to everything. You know, this is a time of harvest. It's a great metaphor for receiving. But receiving doesn't begin or end here. It's just we can use the energy of the season to improve our receiving skills, so to speak. So I would love to, it's a great session, and I would love to talk to you, help you, whether it's a time-based session or a call, I would love to talk to you. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 1-2-listen. We are on special today for the new moon. But typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday are our special days. We also celebrate astrological events, as in the new moon, the 12th of each month, which is 1-2 day. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 1-2-listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. And all that is you leave your email address. So thank you again for listening. However, and whenever you do, there is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7. And there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I invite you to take advantage. I really do. There's a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of different voices, a lot of different passions. I know I say it every week, but the bottom line is it's we're there to support you. So please take advantage. And I just want to say thanks to Serena right now for producing the show today and for all that she does for us on 1-2 Radio. Let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Emerging Power, which is a perfect name for what we... I'm jazzed. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm so excited to talk to you. I've got wonderful stuff to talk about. So I figured a song called Emerging Power is a great segue from announcements and hellos to the teaching segment. This is by Steve Gordon, and it's from the World Groove Mix, Volume 1 CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I'm very happy that you're here. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. It goes on for 3-4 more minutes. It's just a lovely piece of music. Again, it's called Emerging Power by Steve Gordon from the World Groove Mix Volume 1 CD. So, as I said, I'm really just excited to share what I want to talk about today. And, you know, it's just so funny. It's like I've been working on my fall cleaning and worked on it a lot over the weekend and started thinking, oh, I've got a show. I got to think about what I want to talk about on my show on Tuesday and get it formulated. And just kind of out of the blue, not really when I was saying that to myself, but just as I was in the process of doing whatever I was doing, the word emotion came into my head. And so I figured when it just showed up like that, that it would be at least part of what I would talk about today. Then yesterday, I'm listening to Mark Husson on Mark's Astrology Hour. And he talked about the difference between feelings and emotions. So at that point, I was sure that it was supposed to be a part of this segment, or maybe the kind of the theme of this segment, which it is. So I want to explore not only emotion, but feelings and moods from different angles, from scientific to spiritual, because I think it's really important to know what they are, but also to realize that we can use them for our empowerment and our success. Each of us is master and commander of his experience. You know, this experience that we call our lives, we are it. We are supreme in our own orbit, as Wallace Wattles would say. There is no power external to us because we're the individualization of source. Life happens as it will, but the effect it has on us is completely and totally up to us because, again, each of us is the individualization of source. All that is. All that is. So we can go from being victims of our feelings and our moods and our emotions to using them constructively, because they're going to come. I mean, they just are. They're part of life. We live by our senses in this human experience. That's how we live. That's how we survive as humans, through our senses. And so feelings and emotions are just part of our physicality. Well, I found, so when I decided, okay, that was the big thumbs up, you know, that's the theme of the show is emotion and feelings, I thought I wanted to start with science. And I found a great website called Therapy Central. And they're located in London, England. And I loved it because it's very simple. You know, it's very plain the way they describe it. And, you know, of course, I went through, when you Google it, I Googled it. And, of course, there's the heading, you know, that grabs your attention to go to an article. And the heading was, and this is a very fresh article. It's from June 29th, 2025. Said, the easy way to remember it. Emotions are what your body does. Feelings are the story your mind tells about it. The brain science, in plain English. So I want to share what they had to say. It says, what's the difference between feelings and emotions? The whole emotion versus feelings thing basically comes down to three things: timing, control, and how complex they are. Emotions, they're your body's rapid-fire response system, firing off before you even know what's hit you. Think of them as your internal smoke detector, instantly alerting you to danger. Feelings are different. They're what you create from those alarm bells. It's your brain's running commentary on what just went down, shaped by everything from your childhood memories to what you had for breakfast. Influences, filters, that's my interjection. Easy way to remember it, emotions are what your body does, feelings are the story your mind tells about it. The brain science in plain English. Right. Let's have a look at what's happening upstairs. And we promise, no medical jargon. Your emotional brain, basically your body's security system, spots something and instantly hits the panic button. This all happens in the same bit of your brain that keeps your heart beating. Totally automatic, super ancient, and everyone's got the same setup. Then your thinking brain jumps in, trying to make sense of all these signals. Imagine having a really clever translator who takes raw data and spins it into a meaningful story. Thing is, this translator's influenced by your past, your culture, even how tired you are. To really get what feelings and emotions are, let's be even more specific. Emotions, your body's instant reactions. We're talking the basic six here: fear, anger, joy, sadness, surprise, disgust. These are hardwired responses we all share. When you jump at a loud bang, get that stomach drop on a roller coaster, or automatically smile at a baby, that's pure emotion doing its thing. Feelings, your personal take on things. These are the complex experiences you build from emotions. They are colored by your memories, beliefs, what's going on in your life right now, feeling homesick, nostalgic, inspired, disappointed. These are all feelings built from those simpler emotional building blocks. Here's an example. Big dog running straight at you. Your emotion, quote unquote fear, kicks in immediately. Heart pounding, muscles ready to leg it. But your feeling? Well, that depends. Scared of dogs? You might feel terrified. Love dogs? You're probably excited. Same emotion, totally different feelings. These feeling versus emotion examples show something crucial. You can't control that initial emotion, but you do have some say in the feelings that follow. Get the emotions and feelings difference? It isn't just interesting psychology. It's properly game-changing for your well-being. And we're not just saying that. This is something we see transform people's lives every day. Number one, you get control where it matters. Once you realize feelings are just interpretations, you discover you can reframe them. That pre-presentation terror? Your racing heart isn't saying you're doomed. It's prepping your body to perform. Same emotion, different feeling, way better outcome. And they give an example. It says, take Sarah, for instance. She used to think her racing heart before meetings meant anxiety. Now, she sees it as excitement. Tells herself, my body's gearing up for something important. Same physical sensation, completely different experience. Number two, your self-awareness goes through the roof. When you can separate emotions from feelings, you spot triggers way faster, you understand your patterns, you communicate more clearly, massive bonus, and you make decisions based on facts, not just feelings. Number three, your relationships get a serious upgrade. This understanding helps you pause before you react. Validate what others are feeling while questioning their interpretation. Create genuine empathy. Handle conflicts better. And then the last little portion here is busting the big myths. People often ask, are feelings and emotions the same thing? Let's clear this up. Myth one, emotions are bad news. Reality, emotions are just messengers. Neither good nor bad. They're information. It's what we do with them that matters. Myth two, strong people don't get emotional. Reality, everyone has emotions. It's part of being human. Real strength is understanding and working with them, not pretending they don't exist. And myth number three, if I feel it, it must be true. Reality, feelings feel real, but they're just interpretations. That everyone's judging me feeling might just be basic social discomfort. So, sip of tea. The website is called Therapy Central. And I thought that was just really simple, matter of fact, powerful information that pretty much validates a lot of what I talk about all the time. So that was great. That was great. But really well said and funny, because Brits have great humor, and those little, you know, when the dog runs at you, you want to leg it, you know, run away. But anyway, I really, really like that. And that's just good. It's just good information and good for reference. So now I want to talk about emotions and feelings from the perspective of an empath. So I'm going to take us from science and kind of make a little bridge here. The bridge is empaths. And then we're going to go in the last part of it to spirituality. So being empathic or sensitive is not a curse, but a gift. If you're aware and you know how to use it. Again, feelings. Feelings come up, but if you know you can change them, if you know they're not true, you're empowered. Every single thing that I just read, you know, scientifically, is all about empowerment. You're going to have your emotions. And to call them bad or wrong or judge them is senseless. But we do that all the time. Well, from the point of view as an empath, we feel other people's feelings. We feel their emotion. And the only way that we can help someone is to not match that, you know, is to not match their fear or their sadness. But before you know that you're sensitive, you kind of live your life bearing that emotional burden. And so, you know, it can just feel like you're run over and a victim. You know, I don't want to go there because I feel really bad by the time I leave. Well, that's because you're taking on other people's stuff. But, you know, I've talked to so many sensitive and empathic people that really do view themselves as victims of their sensitivity. As I said, empaths feel other people's feelings and emotions and can feel the emotional energy left behind, so to speak, in buildings, in rooms, even just hanging in the air. You know, you go for a walk in the park and you've just walked through or walked along a path where just a few minutes ago two people had an argument. You can feel that when you're sensitive. You know, it's like, wow, I was doing great. It's a beautiful day. What the heck? You know, I feel like something's hanging on my back now. And it is. And it is. But the thing is that other people have feelings. Emotions stick on walls and they hang in the air. That's how it is. That's how it is. As I said at the beginning of the show, the thought atmosphere that we navigate through is nothing but emotions and feelings of every person who's ever been on this planet. So, you know, it's not going to change. And you have no control over that. But you have control over yourself. That's the only thing you're responsible for, is you and your space. And your space consists of your physical body. Well, your chakras, your energy system, your physical body, and your aura. That's your space. That's what you have control over. And from there, you can prove to yourself that you are master and commander in your own life. So if you're sensitive, you help yourself by managing your space. See, the thing about being empathic or sensitive is when we feel other people's feelings, if they're not good feelings, we think we need to fix them. We think we need to jump in there and help that person to feel better, that that's the right thing to do. Well, you know, part of that, and I'm talking very personal experience and personal realization here, part of that is you want to help, you want to serve, especially if you're on a spiritual path, which I'm pretty sure everybody who's listening to this is, especially if you're on a spiritual path. But the thing is that everyone's in their own evolution. And whatever that person is feeling and whatever's happening in their experience right now is contributing to their evolution, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And the same thing can be said for ourselves. Whatever experience is happening in your life at this moment is for your evolution, because you are continuously moving forward. We cannot go backward in our evolution. We can't stop it. We are the individualization of source, of life, and all life wants to do is become more of itself in, through, and as us and our experiences. We're in that. That is us. That's what motivates us, what lives us. So, you know, trying to help someone to help them feel better is great if they ask you for help. That's the qualifier. If they don't ask and you jump in there and you're trying to make them feel better, you are out of bounds. You're infringing on their evolution, and it's not going to end well. It's just not. You know, it can create situations where, well, I'm just going to use Stuart Wilde's example because it's perfect. He said, if you jump in and help someone when they didn't ask you for help, it's like you're picking them up and you're dangling their feet in the air while you help them. Then when you're finished helping them, you put them down so that they can continue on their path and their evolution, and they're mad at you because, what do you mean I'm on my own? You know, or what do you mean I need to help myself? You take care of me. So, and believe me, I know after many years of being empathic and what we used to call it at the Institute, an out of control healer, it doesn't end well because you are out of bounds. The greatest respect we can show other people is letting them be where they are. Again, if someone asks you for help, ask you for, you know, advice, or, you know, to share what you know, please do it, you know, if you can, if you have the green light to do it. But don't interfere, don't infringe, because nobody got cheated on the God factor. Nobody. Every one of us has the same amount of infinite intelligence, infinite life, infinite self as the next guy, because God is. God fills all space. But managing your space, you know, again, here's another situation where we have the opportunity to come back into ourselves and realize that there is no one to change but us. No one. No one outside of us. We can't change anyone. It's impossible. So if you're sensitive, you help yourself by managing your space. And again, space is chakras, body, aura. And you do that, you manage your space by using simple energetic tools that are powerful. You ground yourself. My method of grounding is a colored beam of light from first chakra, tip of tailbone, to the center of the earth. Whatever color feels good. Color is powerful. Color is personal. So whatever you need in the moment, use a color that demonstrates or says to you that vibration of what you need. If you want to be peaceful, if you want to be motivated, if you want to be strong, if you want, if you're going out in a group of people and you want to hold your space, what looks like that to you? What looks like focus and certainty, clarity, seniority? All of those things can be assigned a color. Personal color, because color is personal. It does may not mean that to anybody in the world. It might be pink confetti. I mean, it can be anything. So grounding, and it's like I have a grounding cord from the tip of my tailbone to the center of the earth. It is completely connected. It is on full release. It's in present time. And you date it today's date. The second tool is pulling your aura in. You imagine just pulling your aura in. Your aura is your energy. It can be all over the place. You imagine bringing it in like your body is a magnet, and you just bring it in to arm's length distance around you. And then you put a strong colored bubble around it, or again, whatever you need for what you have to do, a color that matches that vibration, holding your aura in place, a bubble, holding your aura in place. And then the third thing is purposefully filling your mental, emotional, physical, and energetic bodies with neutrality. Neutrality is the king of kings vibration-wise. When you're neutral, nobody can push your buttons. When you're neutral, you see things in black and white without an emotional charge, without being pulled emotionally. So those are power tools for everyone, but especially for empaths. And when I learned them 20 years ago, 2005, it's been 20 years, I have used them every day because they changed my life. Because I was just all over the place, because super empathic and just unhinged. You know, and I don't mean I had mental problems. I just mean I was ungrounded. So they really were a game changer for me, total game changer for me. So, and here's another basic rule that's helpful. And this is just for everybody and anybody, empathic or not. If it doesn't feel good, it's not yours. And that goes for your feelings about something that is happening in your life or about yourself, or feelings that just come out of nowhere from somewhere, someone else. You know, as I gave the example a minute ago, just walking through a space where people had an argument and that lingers. The thing is, it doesn't belong to you if it doesn't feel good. You are the individualization of source. Don't go down the rabbit hole of trying to figure out where that came from. Don't, because that just empowers that feeling and expands it in your experience. Instead, offload them immediately. You can do that many different ways. I like to sacrifice them. I sacrifice them to the void. You know, I just sacrifice every feeling, every emotion, every thought that is not in alignment with my best interest in the moment. I sacrifice it. And I like that because what I'm doing is same as casting the burden. You are sacrificing it to source, casting the burden on the Christ within, where that thing cannot exist. It cannot exist there. But when you do that, you feel it leave you, and that's important. Another great tool for releasing emotion is you can imagine just a bubble, an energetic bubble, and you allow that bubble. I put my bubbles on vacuum because why not? It's the extra mile. You imagine an energetic bubble that just pulls them out of your space. You imagine sending them the bubble, pulling them out of your space, wherever they are. If it's in your head, things that are thought loops, negative inner conversations, if it's in your gut, your heart, whatever, aim the bubble where you feel it and let it pull those out. And then you send that bubble out into the sky and you disintegrate it and its contents. And you feel that. That might sound silly. That is a very viable tool and it works. And you just keep doing it. If it comes back again, feeling comes back, because feelings do come back. You didn't fail. You just send it out again. You, and that empowers you because you feel a difference. So you know, this is up to me. It's up to me to feel bad or not. Yay. So you send it out and you disintegrate it. And then you reground, because chances are if you get caught up in a feeling, you've lost your grounding cord. You don't feel grounded. You just drop another one. Have a new grounding cord. It's blue. Completely connected. And fill in again with neutrality. Just bring that beautiful neutrality in from the top of your head down to your feet, chakras, aura, cells, mental, emotional, physical, body. And move on. And you just keep going. Be in life. This is how to be in life powerfully and empowered being in life. I think those are two different things. Anyway, now let's talk about the spiritual aspect or talk about emotions, feelings, and moods from the spiritual standpoint. Feeling is incredibly important in our spiritual lives. Practicing the presence of God is getting quiet, listening for the still small voice, just in your own being, sitting, breathing, being in the moment. And the thing is that the still small voice isn't necessarily a voice. A lot of times it's a feeling, a shift in your space, a shift in your consciousness. And that feeling is the movement of spirit within our consciousness. When the word emotion showed up for me, the first thing I thought of was Irvin Seal and his book, The Great Prayer. If you have never read that book, Dr. Irvin Seal is a New Thought teacher. He was born in 1909. He died in 1990. And he is one of my favorite New Thought authors. Well, his book, The Great Prayer, is an esoteric interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. And it is very small. You can read it in, really, if you just read it, you could probably read it in less than an hour, but you can't metabolize it in that length of time. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read that book, but I'll tell you what, yesterday when I pulled it out to get my notes together for the show and share it with you today, I think that was a great part of my healing and getting through kind of that thick energy I was feeling. Because it is powerful, and just a wonderful book to have, to pull out at any time. And there's so much, it's a gold mine. It is an absolute gold mine. And a couple years ago, I taught a series of three classes on empowerment, three teaching segments using the Great Prayer as kind of the foundation of them. But before I start with what Dr. Irvin Seal wrote, I want to give you a quote from Stuart Wilde that always is in my consciousness. We are not our bodies, our minds, or our emotions. We are eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. And what we are has beauty and strength. Dr. Seal wrote, "Thus man and God are one. Man is the form of God. In the Bible, the formed world is called the Son who testifies of the Father. The awareness that you are, your consciousness, is the Father. And that which you are conscious of being is the Son bearing witness of the Father. The Father is the impersonal presence of life, capital L, equals I am. This impersonal presence begets many sons. The moment you claim yourself to be this or that, the unconditioned life differentiates into form. And the form is the Son who bears witness to the consciousness that expressed it. If you become conscious of limitation in your affairs, for instance, this consciousness will assume shape and form in your experience. And the experience is the Son who testifies of the Father, or the state of consciousness which created it. Every idea you hold in relation to yourself has a mood or feeling, which is one with it. For instance, if you think of yourself in terms of limitation, the idea you hold of yourself will generate a mood or feeling which is displeasing, fear, worry, etc. On the other hand, if you think of yourself as successful, happy, and free, this view will generate its moods of joy. In either case, the mood is the father of the manifestation. Sustain any mood, and you will have an objectified result which will bear witness of its father. That's fascinating to think of it in those terms. It's just fascinating. Anyway, sorry, that was an interjection. External conditions may inspire certain ideas and moods. This is Dr. Seal. External conditions may inspire certain ideas and moods in you, but the power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. Similarly, since the I am, I, capital A, capital M, God, life, or unconditioned consciousness is all things, what it is to you is measured and defined by your conception of yourself. We can never be greater than our own self-concept, because our self-concept defines what we can have. That's Reverend Ike. If you conceive yourself a beggar, you will manifest the beggarly state. If you become conscious of the moods of freedom, strength, opulence, your whole world will be revealed as the exact image and likeness of these states of consciousness. You cannot change your state of mind or mood while you're aware of a problem. That's why Jesus bid you go into your closet and shut the door. The closet is your own mind. It is the secret place of the Most High, where you meet and talk with God. God is the reality of your being, the subjective self of you. God is the life of you, but you apprehend it only by feeling. You can never see life. You are aware of it as a feeling. You can't cognize it with the five senses. The five senses are aware of your outer world only, and the thing that worries you. To go into the secret closet is to take your attention from the evidence of the senses and go into the realm of pure feeling within yourself. This is the place of formless life. Feeling is the movement of God or the Spirit. Spirit means animation or feeling. Now, call the feeling that you desire to have. It is so possible to get so lost in this feeling that for a time all else is blotted out. You've made a change in consciousness. Psychologically or spiritually, you have left one mood and ascended to another. You may even find yourself in a state of ecstasy beyond description. At any rate, you feel a great gladness, a sense of joy and thanksgiving. You are in the secret place. You have felt the Spirit of God moving within you. Don't separate your own feelings from the Spirit of God. They are one and the same. You have conditioned the formless life into a new pattern, and it will manifest its image and likeness in your world. That's from the Great Prayer. So, you can say that in a different way, no better way than what I just read, because that is just so empowering. Consciousness is cause. Consciousness is God. Consciousness is the presence. And what we see outside of ourselves is the effect. It is what we believe hardened into fact. When he talks about moods and being in, changing your mood and changing your your sense to what you want, to conditioning the formless life into a new pattern, it reminded me of Neville. You know, he says, you wear the mood of the wish fulfilled until it becomes natural. So you have that beautiful mood, whether it's a specific thing that you're looking to manifest, or you're just looking to get back to truth, looking to get back to God, to feeling those beautiful, wonderful, powerful arms around you, lifting you up. I mean, just to go into the silence and practice the presence, and all of a sudden feel a shift in your consciousness. That's healing. And sometimes for me, it just feels like a wave that goes from the top of my head down through my body, and I'm different. Something was bothering me. It's completely and totally gone. So I want to just end with one more thing from Dr. Seal. And I need a sip of tea first. In an essay of his called Emotions We Live By, he wrote, if one manages his feelings, he will manage his world. Essentially, our whole life experience is a feeling thing. Any event or situation is what we feel it to be. Everything reduces at last to what we feel about it. We can be hurt or pleased. We can love or hate, be assured or fearful. And if there's not insight or point of control, then we are victims of our moods and mere flotsam and jetsam upon the ocean of life. Emotional sovereignty is the great and wonderful thing, and we can all have more of it by following this ancient rule of going back to the source and remembering who our true Father is, and then allowing the mind to make its confident and consoling conclusion that because it comes from a high and noble source, it is endowed and equipped with more than enough to win the battles of this life. Bam! I love it. I love it. That felt so good. That felt so good. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week, everyone. Please stay tuned now for Katie Weaver. Goodbye.